FCS Fans Nation, Jamie Williams here again to look at my top 25 ballot review. Going to go through that with you here just a little bit. Also at the end, going to quickly run through an early playoff projection just to see where I see things as they stand right now. Obviously, things are going to change just like the ballot does week to week. So long way to go. Still got 2 months before the brackets come out officially. So there's a lot of football to be played and a lot of opportunity. So as of now, we'll just kick into the top 25. Obviously, no change at the top. North Dakota State stays number one. Tough first half for the Bison, but as they usually do, they adjust in the locker room, come out, and come away with a 17-point win. Not much to say about them there other than they keep doing what they do. I know people are seeing chinks in the armor, but if you're seeing chinks in the armor of a team that still wins by 17, I think that tells you how good the Bison are. At number two, I did move up South Dakota State from 4-2. Good win over a ranked top 10 Missouri State team at the time. Dominant performance. 14-point win, but if you dig into the stats, look at the game, Jackrabbits controlled that one all the way throughout. Montana haven't started with the strongest schedule, but they're doing what they need to do against it. They did tick one down just because South Dakota State, to me, deserved to be number two. So Montana drops one slot. They still have a couple weeks before they get into the meat of their schedule, and we'll really see what the Grizz are all about. At number four, Sacramento State absolutely hammered Colorado State. So they jump all the way up two more spots to number four. With a bullet. They really look like they could again challenge for another title in the Big Sky. So look out for the Hornets. That's a well-coached team. That's a team with a good offense, a good defense, and they can make some noise come playoff time. So it's definitely a team to keep an eye on. Delaware, just holding steady right where they were last week at number five. You know, nothing good, nothing bad from them. They just, again, roll over an easier team. Hampton only giving up 3 points, scoring 35 themselves. So Delaware just stays at number five. A couple teams just had a little bit better performance than they did. Speaking of a good performance, number six, Montana State, went to Eastern Washington. The backs were definitely against the wall, but they forced a fumble late in Eastern territory, recovered that fumble, and were able to take that in for the winning score. I know there was a little bit of controversy in that game, but at the end of the day, Montana State comes away with the win. Another team, Weber State, up to seven. They beat UC Davis. A lot of people probably didn't see that game. Just, frankly, the game was late. Didn't start till 10 o'clock East Coast time, and it was a 17-12 game. But Weber State showing that defense is back this year. Look out for the Wildcats as they seem to be back where they are. Jackson State comes from 10-8 this week. Shador Sanders continues to dominate the competition. Throwing for another four touchdowns, 300 plus yards. I know he threw the ball a lot, but that's what that offense is predicated on. And Shador Sanders is the straw that stirs the drink there. Clearly, he's going to be in the conversation for the Walter Payton Award all season long. So get used to that. Looking at number nine, Mercer, all the way up those six spots. That the Bears are one of those teams that I thought coming into the year was going to be pretty good, and so far, so good. They beat Gardner-Webb fairly easily last week, but just the way that offense is moving, even without Fred Davis, they've replaced him well in the running back department. Fred Payton, you know, clearly gets the job done. He didn't have a big statistical day last week, but he did throw for three touchdowns as the Bears rolled. Entering number 10, Holy Cross. That's another team that Patriot League, you wouldn't expect why they are number 10. All they do is just continue to win. They've got an FBS win. They're on a collision course, obviously, in the Patriot League with Fordham, and they just took care of business, winning by double digits again. So they slot up the number 10 slot just because of some of the other results, as you can see throughout the weekend. Number 11, Missouri State, they dropped down three after their loss to South Dakota State. Still probably a playoff team, as we'll see in a little bit in my projection, if they remain there. Petrino's got a good team going. They're probably the best two-loss team, or at least has an argument for it, as we discussed on our podcast the other night. But Missouri State was not able to go get the job done, even at home with Jason Shelley. He was very bottled up, so that was kind of interesting to see. I thought they would have a little bit better performance. Number 12, Richmond. They're up five slots. They finally really showed up with what I expected to see from Richmond this year. With Reese Udinski having a really big game, they finally did that. And Jacob Harris hasn't had that big of an impact, but it's good to see Udinski finally have that big game as they blew out Stony Brook by a very, very large margin. So Richmond is up to number 12. Here, my team of the week, number 13, Austin Peay. They're up eight slots off of their big win against Eastern Kentucky. And Eastern Kentucky had that game kind of in hand early with a lead, and then the Governors rattled off, I believe it was 28 straight points to put that game away and actually win by three scores. So Austin Peay is looking really good. They're only lost to an FBS Western Carolina, a game they were in for most of the game. At number 14, we do have Chattanooga, who's kind of not making a lot of noise, but just kind of doing what they need to do. Unfortunately, this past week, they did go to Illinois. They did not score, and that kind of highlights the thing that I see in that team that I want to see more of. The offense isn't great, even with the transfer quarterback, Hutchinson. It's just not where I would like to see it. So I do have a little bit of concern for them in the SoCon. I think they'll be able to compete. I think they're on the brink of potentially winning that conference. They'll be in the running, but I do need to see more from an offense because other offenses in the Southern Conference are really performing a lot better. Number 15, UT Martin. They just kind of hang around. They came off of their loss to Missouri State, and they played Boise. Hung in there for a little while, but ultimately wound up losing that game. But last week, and then this past week, they've easily beat Lindenwood by 30. So they're sitting around that 15 slot. It seems like they're a 12 to 16 type of team this year. Probably a playoff team. Unfortunately, we won't get the battle for the OVC that we would hope for, because them and Southeast Missouri State, who you'll see later, unfortunately, they don't play this year. So that's tough. Samford up to number 16, and Samford is for real, folks. I had said that I thought that their secondary would struggle against a high-powered passing offense like Western Carolina, and they did not. Samford looks like they are really going to compete with Chattanooga, with Mercer, for not only the playoff spot, but the Southern Conference title. But Samford has really tightened up their game. Coach Chris Hatcher has them playing very well, and they're a strong home team. You do not want to go down to Samford and have to play them, because Chris Hatcher does an excellent record there. I'm going to talk about 17 and 18 together because they do go together because they played last week. The Southland Conference title may have come down to that last play of the game. What a phenomenal game between Southeastern Louisiana and Incarnate Word. You see Southeastern Louisiana comes up 14 spots. They had started a little shaky, two FBS losses, which you don't hold against them, and they blew out Central Connecticut. So I really wanted to see what they were about, and they kind of showed Incarnate Word what they're about. Cephas Johnson goes down early in the first quarter, and freshman quarterback comes in and basically runs the offense like an upperclassman. Did a great job. Carlos Watch did a great job. They got a running back. Southeast Louisiana's offense is that much more dangerous. Lindsey Scott still had a good game for Incarnate Word, but after Scott got the game tied up, SLU had the ball last, and that's really what wins it, and the safety falls down, and unfortunately at the gun, we are deprived of overtime because Southeast Louisiana goes in for the score and the win. That was an excellent game, but they wound up at 17 and 18 because that's exactly what they are. They're right there together, but Southeast Louisiana gets one spot higher because they won the game. Southeast Missouri State continues to win. They held off Central Arkansas 35-27 last week. This team hasn't made the playoffs in the last couple years, but they look like they're on the way to potentially getting back in the playoffs this year. So I'm keeping my eye on Southeast Missouri. And like I said, for UT Martin, they don't play each other, so that makes things a little bit harder. So it's going to come down to if they get tied, whatever the tiebreakers are, and I just hope it's not a strength of schedule type of thing like the WAC Ace Sun is doing. That's kind of annoying. At number 20, all right, I finally put Furman in. They beat Charleston Southern 24-19, which isn't overall impressive, but Paladins are playing good ball. So can't fault them, can't keep them out just because you're not sure what they might be. But They have the record that says they should be in here. They played Clemson really close. So now Furman's in. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for them to rise up to challenges they get in the Southern Conference play, which I think we can all say is a very competitive conference. Similar to the Southland teams, I've got the next two grouped together. We'll talk about them together. Elon rises up 18. William & Mary drops 11 spots. William & Mary enters the fourth quarter of that game up 16 points. You can't blow that lead, and they did. Matt McKay played well for Elon. William & Mary's running game didn't get going as much as it did, which shows if you can hold down William & Mary's running game, you can hold down William & Mary. Darius Wilson played very well, though. Hit his first 10 passes, threw a few touchdown passes. So it's not a one-dimensional offense, but they need the run game to really drive that bus. Elon did a great job in the comeback, scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. Definitely a lot better than I thought they were going to be coming into the season. So good to see another team in the CAA kind of stepping up and pushing that pace. At number 23, Southern Illinois. They're up six spots, returning to my top 25. Another solid win for them. They beat last week they beat an FBS team in Northwestern. This week they come back, they beat North Dakota. So kind of people call them a Jekyll and Hyde team. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think they just lost a couple of the games early to teams that are good, that are in the rankings, ahead of them. And then they beat the next two teams. So this is still a pretty good football team. They're still going to have chances to make the playoffs and make some noise in the Missouri Valley. At number 24, the Idaho Vandals, the pride of Chris Hammond, have entered my ballot. Very impressed with how Jason Eck has got that team playing right now. Two FBS losses very close to Washington State and Indiana. Winning easily over Drake and then going down to a very tough place to play, the walk-up Saddle Dome, Sky Dome, or whatever they call it, the walk-up Sky Dome, I believe, in Northern Arizona and winning there. Idaho into the ballot for the first time since I've ever been voting, so congrats, Vandals, and your fan base. And at number 25, even though they lost to an FBS team in Ohio, they're still coming in. Tim DeMorat is unreal. Another seven touchdown passes, another 300-plus yards. He drives that offense, and Fordham is a fun team to watch. So really enjoy watching them. They slide in at 25 at this point. Basically, the next teams in the rankings could all have arguments all the way down to about 35. But basically, they're the teams that fell out based off of their losses last week, close and otherwise. Teams like Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Washington, UC Davis, Villanova, big-time disappointment. They fell way down. They're all the way down in the mid-30s for me. Monmouth, with that win, though, is climbing closer to the 25. And we'll see if the Hawks have more to give against the CAA than what they – than just their win against Villanova. So coming in on second thought, and there's really not a lot that I've got questions on this week or that I question myself. I did make the move to put South Dakota State back up to number two. I just feel like the way they've played, they deserve to jump Montana, who hasn't done anything wrong. All they've done is blow everybody out. But I think the Jackrabbits have proven with their schedule and the way they've bounced back, the injuries they've had, that they're the number two team in the country. Also, dropping Incarnate Word as far as I did, I think that's probably valid for now. They can fight their way back up. Then you could probably argue anything I did from 20 on to about 33, 34. Order them any way you want, and you probably have a pretty solid top 25. Just because that's the way I put them doesn't mean that's the way you have to put them, and that's okay. Please feel free to put some comments in on YouTube, on Twitter, wherever you see this, or in contact with me. Just let me know what you think. On to my playoff projection. Kind of did a little slight this week. As we go on, we'll hone this in. We might even make a bracket, set up first-round matchups. But for now, we're just going to talk through the teams. So the auto bids, there's 11 of them. In the Big Sky, I've got Montana, and I have them as the number two seed. I'm going to give the Big South to Campbell. Looks like they're the best team in that conference right now, but it seems like just about everybody's there. North Carolina A&T actually had a very good win this past week. So keep your eye on the Big South to see how that changes week to week. CAA, we got Delaware, who I have as my number 5 seed. Missouri Valley, North Dakota State, obviously our number 1 seed until otherwise proven. In the NEC, I've got St. Francis. We put it in the taco bet last week. I'm not varying from that. St. Francis there in the NEC. The OVC, right now I'm going to give it to Southeast Missouri State. I think they look a little bit better than UT Martin overall. So I've got Southeast Missouri State as the auto bid. In the Patriot League, again, nice battle, but I've got Holy Cross. I think their defense will be the difference when they play Fordham. So right now I've got Holy Cross. Pioneer, we're going to stick with Davidson. That's wide open. Valparaiso, you know, St. Thomas, whoever. There's 5 or 6 teams that could take the Pioneer and take their one bid. The SoCon right now, Mercer looks like the best team. A week or so ago, I might have had Chattanooga here, but I feel like the way Mercer's playing, they're the best team, and I have them as an 8 seed. That's how good the Bears are playing. Southland, by virtue of their win, Southeast Louisiana is the team right now that would slide into the auto bid. And in what we're going to call the Wax Sun, in honor of our podcast friends, Dustin, Brandon, and Will Siller, that will be Austin P. So who do I have as the at-large? Glad you asked. Number 3 seed, South Dakota State. Number 4 seed, Sacramento State. Montana State comes in at the 6, and Weber State at the 7. So you can see I got 4 seeds from the Big Sky right now. But that's how that conference, right now, the depth and strength of the Big Sky is really showing. And I'm sure once they play through their conference schedule, this is going to change. They might still get this many playoff teams, but they probably won't all be seeds. But as of right now, and that's how we're looking at this, that's how I see it, Missouri State still gets in. Richmond from the CAA still gets in. I've got Chattanooga in. I do, like I said earlier, want to see more from that offense. Tennessee Martin, even if they don't win the OVC, they should have a good enough resume to still get in. Samford, can't keep them out. They look way too good right now. And then you see in red here, these are my final 4 teams in. Incarnate Word, obviously the FBS win is really going to prop them up. The win over Southern Illinois is going to prop them up. So Incarnate Word is pretty safe right now, but they are in the last 4 teams in, but they would safely be that first of those 4. Southern Illinois, I've got 2 losses, but I got to put them in. They got quality losses. They got quality wins, including an FBS win. Eastern Kentucky, despite losing this past week, still stays in. And William & Mary, same thing. Despite losing, still stays in. And you'll see in these last 4, I value FBS wins at this point. Because right now, that is a differentiator over some of these other teams. And my first 4 out are Fordham, Idaho, Furman, and Elon. So really, the deciding factor was a little bit better strength of schedule based off of FBS wins. Again, on the playoff projection, let me know what you think down in the comments. We'll work through this week by week. It's going to change week by week, just like the ballot. And eventually, we'll start honing in on what we think the bracket's actually going to look like. Who's going to go play where? Who's going to match up at what seed? Will we have a Brawl of the Wild in the quarterfinals? Will we have the Dakota Marker matchup in the playoffs again? Or will it be in Frisco based off the bracket? So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out and see what you think. Again, hit the comments section. Love to hear from you all. Have a great day. Have a great week. Enjoy the football this weekend. Boom!
Thank you for listening to the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, or even YouTube. And make sure to follow our FCS Fans Nation social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the premier podcast for FCS football. Boom.